No, you're not. You're beautiful. Mickey went up on her tiptoes even as the tall Liam bent down to her. They kissed, this time far longer than they had the first time. As they drew apart and opened their eyes, she said,
You're my knight in...
She looked at his dark clothes and smiled.
Black, shining armor and hiking boots.
He touched her cheek and grinned. And you're my fair maiden in flaming red with stinky stuff in her hair.
Liam, we can't tell our parents. My dad will go after all of them and probably end up in jail.
But what about your clothes and hair?
I'll clean up before I sneak in the house.
Liam said, So we're not going to get back at Tiffany and her friends?
Oh, I didn't say that. We're going to get back at them, but we're going to do it the right way, not the stupid way they tried to do it.
So how then?
You'll see.
She plopped down in the ocean water and started to scrub. Chapter 44. Jack was waiting outside the restaurant when Jenna came out promptly at 9. She climbed in the VW van and he pulled off.
This looks like a vintage ride,
she said. Sammy's. He likes to tinker with cars.
That's not all he likes to tinker with.
He glanced at her. Meaning what?
Meaning he and Anne Bethune are seeing each other.
What? Why am I always the last to know? She squeezed his shoulder.
You just need to get out more, honey.
When did it start?
Oh, about the time they laid eyes on each other. At least that was how Anne described it. In fact, that's where he was the day you beat up those guys. They went for a ride on his Harley.
Jenna bent down and took off her shoes and started rubbing her feet.
Sorry, after 10 hours, these puppies are screaming.
She rolled down the window and breathed in the crisp evening air.
God, I remember in college, a guy I dated had a Harley. One time when Liam was staying with my mom, we rode it all over the Blue Ridge Parkway. It was so much fun.
Were you away from Liam a lot back then? She rolled the window back up.
Hardly ever, actually. I went to college close to home so I could stay there. My mom was divorced and ran a business out of her house. She would watch Liam for me when I was at class or working.
Working?
Only way to pay for school. No silver spoons in my neighborhood. I knew I wanted to go to college and then law school and then work at a big firm in a big city.
Sounds like you had it all mapped out.
Well, I didn't have Liam mapped out. He just happened. Two stupid teenagers.
Her features grew solemn.
But I don't know what I'd do without him in my life. He's a great kid. And he and Mickey really seemed to have hit it off. When I told him she was going to be working at the Little Bit, he was really psyched.
Well, that's actually the reason I wanted to talk to you. About Liam.
What about him?
Jack told her his plan. She was smiling and nodding as he finished.
Okay, that sounds terrific. In fact, I'm real proud of you, Dad. But in return, you have to do one thing for me.
He looked at her wearily. What?
Can you take me for a ride on the Harley?
Jack drove to the palace, got Sammy's permission, and fired up the Harley. Jenna got on back, and they drove off, paralleling the ocean on the long, winding road. As the wind whipped across their faces, Jenna said,
Boy, does this bring back memories.
Having fun, then?
You know it.
She squeezed his middle as they leaned into turn after turn. After 30 minutes, he drove her home.
Liam's not here yet. Would you like to come in for some tea or coffee or something stronger?
They sat out on the rear deck sipping glasses of Chardonnay Jenna had poured them. After going over the details of Jack's plan in more depth, Jenna said,
How's the lighthouse coming?
He put down his glass. Good. Stairs are coming along, and Charles found the parts to repair the light.
I bet it'll be something to see it fired up again.
Yeah, I think it will, Jack said absently.
And why do I think that's not why you're really doing it?
He glanced up at her. I fix things. That's what I do.
Some things can't be fixed with a hammer and a set of plans.
He drained the rest of his glass. I better get going. He rose.
Jack?
Yeah? His voice seemed defensive.
Let me know when you get the lighthouse working. I'd really love to see it.
Taken aback by her obvious sincerity, he said, I will, Jenna.
And thanks for the ride. Most fun I've had in a long time.
Before he realized, Jack had already said it. Me too. Chapter 45. The next morning at the breakfast table, Jack said, I didn't hear you come in last night, Mick.
I actually got in early.
Mickey lied as she poured out a glass of OJ. So how was the date?
It was okay, but we're just not that compatible.
It happens.
Yeah, it does. Hey, Dad, I'm going into town today.
Why?
Just an errand to run. Liam's going with me. I won't be long. Sammy said he'd watch Jackie for me.
When do you start working at the restaurant?
Tomorrow. That's when Corey and Jackie start camp.
You know, you could have come to me with all that. She put a hand on her hip and said,
Could I have, Dad? Really?
He looked away. So, how are you getting to town? Want a lift?
Liam's picking me up.
Look, Mickey, I want you to be able to talk to me about stuff. If we can't do that, then we've got no shot at this father-daughter thing.
You really mean that?
Yeah, I do.
Well, it would be a nice start if you didn't work all day and then go to the lighthouse all night.
But I've almost got it finished.
Okay, Dad, whatever. We can talk when you're done with it.
Mickey walked out to the street where Liam was waiting for her in his car. Liam grinned. When you called this morning with your plan, I have to admit I was really intrigued. Now I'm downright fired up.
Good, because so am I.
They arrived in downtown Channing and parked in front of the Playhouse. There were a number of cars sitting at the curb, including Tiffany's red convertible. The marquee read, Channing Talent Competition. Applications today. Mickey grinned.
When I saw that sign last night, I really didn't think anything of it. You know, who cares? But now? Now the timing couldn't be more perfect.
Let's do it, said Liam. They walked inside the lobby and joined a line of people standing in front of a long table behind which sat a number of ladies with hair styled to the max and wearing clothes that probably cost more than some automobiles. One of them, an attractive blonde woman in a form-fitting dress, seemed to be in charge.
Let me guess.
Mickey whispered to Liam as she pointed at the woman.
Tiffany's mom?
Liam nodded. How'd you know?
I just flash-forwarded Tiffany 25 years.
Chelsea Murdoch. I heard my mom once say she was even worse than her daughter.
Wow. Now that's a lady I have got to tangle with.
When Liam and Mickey reached the table, Chelsea Murdoch looked up at them with such a haughty expression that Mickey just wanted to slap her.
Yes, we'd like to enter the competition,
said Mickey politely. Murdoch glanced at Liam and looked confused.
Both of you? That's right, together. Liam Fontaine, right?
She said, the one and only. The woman smirked. And then her gaze swiveled to Mickey.
And you are? Michelle Armstrong. We're down here from Cleveland for the summer.
The woman looked amused.
Cleveland? Yes, it's the largest city in Ohio. Did you know that?
Mickey said innocently.
No, I never saw a good reason to find out.
She replied dryly, and then bumped elbows with the woman sitting next to her, who chuckled. Mrs. Murdoch pushed a paper toward them.
Fill this out, and there's a $10 processing fee. What are you going to do for your act? Music,
said Mickey.
Drums, keyboard, and guitar.
Murdoch looked at her coolly.
Pretty ambitious. I'd like to think so,
Mickey replied sweetly.
I'm sure the competition is pretty tough. It is. In fact, one young lady has won it 3 years in a row and is looking to make it four. Would that be Tiffany? Yes, she's my daughter. Of course, but I already knew she'd won it 3 times in a row. How?
Mickey pointed to the mammoth banner on the wall behind them, which had a large picture of Tiffany holding up three trophies with the word Triple Crown stenciled over her head.
That was like sort of the first clue.
Mickey returned Murdoch's scowl with a smile.
Just put the foam in the box over there and give your money to the lady in the blue dress,
she snapped.
Great. Thanks for all your help, Mrs. Murdoch,
Mickey said in her most polite schoolgirl voice. Mickey could feel the woman firing laser eye darts at her as they walked off. She filled out the form and gave it and their entry fee to the woman in the blue dress. Okay, step one is done, Liam said.
And here comes step two.
Tiffany and some of her friends had just walked into the lobby of the theater. When Mickey marched up to them, Tiffany stiffened.
Hey, Tiff.
Tiffany looked puzzled and then glanced at her friends and back at Mickey.
Hi,
Tiffany said coolly.
I wanted to thank you for the great time on the beach. It was really memorable.
Tiffany snorted and the other girls laughed.
Okay,
said a grinning Tiffany. Mickey leaned closer.
And just so we're straight, we're like so going to kick your ass in the talent competition?
The smile vanished from Tiffany's face, and her friends stopped laughing. Mickey drew even closer.
Oh, one more thing. You ever lay another finger on me? They won't be able to find all the pieces to put you back together again, sweetie.
She'd unconsciously used the same threat she'd overheard her dad invoke back in Cleveland. Tiffany blinked and took a step back.
You think you're so tough?
Mickey put her face an inch from the other girl's.
I'm from Cleveland. It's sort of a requirement.
Outside, as they passed Tiffany's red convertible, Liam glanced around to make sure no one was watching, then reached in his pocket and pulled out a white tube. Pretending to be picking up something, he squirted the clear liquid from the tube onto the convertible's driver's seat. It was invisible against the leather.
What's that?
Mickey asked. After what they did to you, I think super glue is in order.
Liam, I'm so liking your style, dude.
Chapter 46.
Okay, so what's the conspiracy?
Jenna had come into the kitchen at the little bit to find Liam and Mickey using their break to huddle in one corner. Nothing, Mom, Liam said a little too innocently.
Son, you forget I was a lawyer. My lie detector is well oiled.
He looked sheepishly and glanced at Mickey. You want to tell her? Mickey said,
we entered the talent competition as a musical act. Well, that's great. Why keep it a secret?
Liam answered, we'll be going up against Tiffany, and I know her family is an important player in town. We beat her out of winning for the fourth year in a row. The Murdochs might mess with you.
They can try and mess with me, but I don't think it'll do much good. The little bit is pretty much here to stay.
She looked at both of them curiously.
So why this sudden interest in beating Tiffany Murdoch?
The two teens looked at each other. Sensing they were holding something significant back, Jenna said,
okay, both of you, I happen to be the boss, and I want the truth, right now.
Between them, Mickey and Liam told her what had happened on the beach. When they'd finished, the look on Jenna's features was very dark.
That was a criminal assault on you, Mickey. And you too, Liam. You two could have been really hurt.
It was no big deal, Mom.
It was a very big deal. Those kids need to be held accountable for what they did, otherwise they might do it again.
Mom, please, don't do anything. We want to handle this in our own way. Mickey added,
and if my dad finds out, he'll beat them all up and probably end up in jail. I know my dad. He's really overprotective. They were just teenagers, and he's an ex-Army Ranger. You saw what he did to those two big guys. He can be like a SWAT team all by himself when he needs to be. They'd throw the book at him, so please don't say anything, Jenna, please.
Jenna's features finally lightened.
Okay, I see your logic. But does your dad know you're entering the talent competition? Not yet. Well, I think the sooner he knows, the better.
Mickey gazed at her.
Would you mind telling him? Me? Why? It might be better coming from another parent. I don't think he'll mind, but he's been a little preoccupied lately, and we've already entered. I can't pull out now.
Jenna thought about this for a few seconds.
Okay, I'll talk to him.
She checked her watch and smiled.
Break time's over. We run a real sweatshop here, so get to it.
Mickey gave her a quick hug.
Thanks. You're a lifesaver. So when do you think you'll talk to him? I think I know where to find him at the right time.
At a little past midnight, Jack stood on the catwalk of the lighthouse, staring out at a clear sky. After his conversation with Mickey and the disappointment so evident on her face, he had really tried not to come out here, but something made his legs move, and here he was. He'd worked all day with Sammy on Anne Bethune's project, which had also given him time to see her camp. He had to admit that Jackie and Corey were having a wonderful time, and they were learning things, too. Anne had an instructor who took the kids down to the water and showed them about marine life and other science subjects appropriate for younger kids. Corey was in his element with painting and acting out scenes that he had written in a performance art workshop the camp also offered. It was exactly the sort of experience Jack had hoped for when they came down here for the summer. However, Jack was trying not to focus on the fact that he wasn't an integral part of that experience, that it was being done through what amounted to surrogates. If I can just finish the lighthouse. He walked back inside the structure and gazed down at the new stairs. He'd just driven in the last nail a few minutes ago. Work still needed to be done on them, mostly finishing items, but they were safe to walk on and would last a long time. He planned to start disassembling the scaffolding tomorrow night and return it to the hardware store. He picked up Lizzie's doll and went back out on the catwalk. Sweaty from all the hard work in the confines of the lighthouse, he took off his shirt and let the cool breeze flow over him. He looked at the doll and then gazed up at the sky. Heaven was somewhere up there. He'd been thinking about where a precocious little girl would have thought it was located. He looked at discrete grids of the sky, much like he'd compartmentalized and studied the desert in the Middle East when he was fighting in a war there. Which spot was most likely to hold an IED or a sniper? Only now he was looking for angels and saints and Lizzie. He set the doll down and took the letter from his shirt pocket. Now that he'd finished the stairs, he told himself it was time to read the next one. The envelope had the number 4 written on it. He slipped the letter out. It was dated December 21st. He leaned against the railing and read it. Dear Lizzie, Christmas is almost here and I promise that I will make it. It will be a great day. Seeing the kids' faces when they open their presents will be better for me than all the medications in the world. I know this has been hard on everyone, especially you and the kids. But I know that your mom and dad have really been a tremendous help to you. I've never gotten to know them as well as I would have liked. Sometimes I feel that your mom thinks you might have married someone better suited to you. More successful. But I know deep down that she cares about me, and I know she loves you and the kids with all her heart. It is a blessing to have someone like that to support you. My father died, as you know, when I was still just a kid. And you know about my mom. But your parents have always been there for me, especially Bonnie. And in many ways, I see her as more of a mom to me than my own mother. It's action, not words, that really counts. That's what it really means to love someone. Please tell them that I always had the greatest respect for her and Fred. They are good people. And I hope that one day she will feel that I was a good father who tried to do the right thing, and that maybe I was worthy of you. Love, Jack. Chapter 47.
Am I interrupting something?
Jack turned to see Jenna standing there on the catwalk, a bottle of wine and 2 glasses in hand. She saw the letter in his hand but said nothing as he thrust it in his jeans pocket and quickly pulled his shirt on, his fingers struggling to button it up as fast as possible. "What are you doing here?" he said a little harshly. She took a step back.
"I'm sorry if I snuck up on you."
"Well, you did."
"Look, I'll just leave."
She turned to go when he said, "No, it's okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to snap at you. I just wasn't expecting anyone." She smiled.
"I wonder why. It's after midnight and you're standing on your own property at the top of a lighthouse. I would have thought there have been hundreds of people through here by now."
His anger faded, and a grin crept across Jack's face. "Dozens, maybe, but not hundreds." He eyed the wine. "Coming from a party?" She looked around and set the glasses on an old crate while she uncorked the wine.
"No, hoping I was coming to one."
"What?" She poured out the wine and handed him a glass, then clinked hers against his.
"Cheers."
She took a sip and let it go down slowly as she gazed out over the broad view.
"God, it's beautiful up here."
"Yeah, it is."
"So you finished the stairs, I see."
"Still need to do some work, but the heavy lifting's done."
"I guess you're wondering what the heck I'm doing here."
"Honestly, yeah, I am." She told him about Liam and Mickey entering the talent competition, but withheld the reason why. "Hey, that's great. I bet they have a good chance to win."
"They do, actually. I'm no expert, but I'd pay money to hear them."
Jack swallowed some of his wine. "But why didn't Mickey just come and tell me?"
"I'm not really sure. She asked me to and I agreed. Maybe you should ask her."
Jack slowly nodded. "I know, I've gotten my priorities screwed up."
"Well, realizing the problem is a good first step to fixing it. And like you said, you fix things."
"Yeah, well, lighthouses are easier than relationships."
"I would imagine anything is easier than that. But that doesn't mean you can ignore it."
"I'm starting to see that."
"I know what you told me before, but why is this so important to you, Jack?"
He put his wine glass down. "This feels like the place I can be closest to her," he said slowly. He glanced over to find Jenna staring at him with a concerned expression. "Look, I'm not losing touch with reality."
"I didn't think you were,"
she said quickly. "But it's still crazy, right?"
"If you feel it, it's not crazy, Jack. You've been through a lot."
"The miracle man," he said softly. Jenna gazed at him but said nothing, waiting for him to speak. "I wasn't supposed to be here, Jenna. I mean, living. I was just hanging on till Christmas for the kids, for Lizzie." She touched his shoulder.
"I shouldn't have asked. You don't owe me an explanation about anything."
"No, it's okay. I need to get this out." He paused, drawing a long breath, seeming to marshal his thoughts. "I spent half of our marriage in the army, most of it away from home." He stopped, glanced at the dark sky. "I was crazy in love with my wife. I mean, they say absence makes the heart grow fonder. I could be in the next room and miss Lizzie, much less halfway around the world." A tear trickled from Jack's right eye, and Jenna's mouth quivered. She swallowed with difficulty. "I always saw Lizzie and me as one person whose halves got separated somehow, but they found each other again. That's how lucky I was." Jenna said quietly,
"Most people never have that, Jack. You were truly blessed."
"The last night we were together, she told me she wanted to come back here for the summer. I could tell she wanted to believe that I would be alive to come with her. She even talked about me fixing up the place, this lighthouse. I never thought I'd have the chance."
"So you're fulfilling Lizzie's last wish?"
"I guess." He turned to look back out to sea. "Because she never got the chance to come back." Jenna said,
"And then you got better."
He glanced at her, his eyes red. "But you know why I got better? Because Lizzie was right there with me every step of the way. She wouldn't let me die."
"Why are you telling me all this?"
"Because if I don't tell someone, I think I'm going to, I don't know. and you seem like someone who would understand. A gentle rain began to fall as they stood there. Jenna put down her glass, gripped Jack's shoulders, turned him to her, and put her arms around him. As the rain continued to come down, they stood there in the darkness, slowly swaying from side to side.
I do understand, Jack. I really do.
Chapter 48.
Jenna, you really don't have to do this,
said Mickey. They were at a women's clothing store in downtown Channing during a break from working at the restaurant. She continued,
It's no big deal. I mean, it's only dinner out with my family. Dad and Sammy and certainly Corey and Jackie aren't going to care what I have on. But it's also your 16th birthday, honey, and that only happens once in your life.
Together, they'd selected a half dozen outfits, and Mickey was trying them on. After Mickey decided on a dark, sleeveless dress, Jenna helped her pick out shoes, a purse, and other accessories.
Thanks, Jenna. I can't exactly go bra shopping with my dad. No, I guess you really can't.
She smiled mischievously.
Though it might be kind of fun if you did, just to see the former tough-as-nails Army Ranger squirm over cup sizes.
Mickey was looking down at all the items and mentally calculating the prices. Her face turned red.
I'm going to have to put some of these things back. Why? I don't have enough money. Sure you do. I just gave you an advance on your salary. What? I do it with all my new employees, or at least the ones turning 16 who want something new to wear. I'm not looking for a freebie, and I'm not giving it. This will be deducted from your paycheck in equal installments over the next 60 years, young lady.
Mickey laughed.
Are you sure? Absolutely. Seriously, you're a really good waitress and a hard worker. That should be rewarded.
After they left the shop, Jenna said,
How about an ice cream? I've got something I want to talk to you about.
They sat outside on a street bench with their cones.
First things first. I spoke with your dad about the talent competition, and he's completely fine with you entering. Wow, that's great. Although he did wonder why you didn't just come and ask him directly about it. And what did you tell him? I played dumb and basically dodged the question.
She licked her cone and seemed to be choosing her next words carefully.
The lighthouse?
Mickey sighed.
What about it? Your dad spends a lot of time out there. How did you know that? Well, aside from your miserable expression, I just know. Let's leave it at that. Now, have you ever been out there with him? No. Why? I just don't. No reason. You resent it? Resent a stupid building? That's a dumb question. Is it?
Mickey finished her ice cream, wiped off her fingers, and threw the trash in a bin next to the bench.
Look, if he chooses to be out there instead of with his family, who am I to rock the boat? I think you just answered my question. You know that was your mom's lighthouse.
Mickey scowled.
Yeah, my mom when she was a little girl. So you think it's odd he seems so... obsessed? Yeah, a little. What would you think? Hard to say. Now, tell me about what those jerks were yelling at your dad on the street that day. Miracle Man?
Mickey looked uncomfortable and drew a long breath.
I don't really want to talk about that. Please, Mickey, I really do want to help, but I need to know.
Mickey took the next few minutes to fill her in. Jenna looked thoughtful.
So basically the tabloid made everything up. Well, that's what my dad says. And you believe a newspaper that makes millions selling lies over your father. How does that make sense?
Mickey refused to look at her. She said,
Where there's smoke, there's fire. That makes even less sense. Easy for you to say, it wasn't your family getting destroyed. No, but let me put on my lawyer hat for a minute and analyze this.
She paused, but only for a moment.
Your dad loses the woman he loves in a tragedy that was really no one's fault. Then he loses the rest of his family and is left to die alone. Instead, he somehow finds the strength to beat a certain death sentence, brings his family back together, and tries to make a go of it as a single parent. And then a bunch of gut-wrenching lies get spread all over the news, and people are calling him terrible things based on those lies. And he has to just stand there and take it?
She stopped.
What an evil guy your dad is.
Jenna looked over to find Mickey staring down at her feet, a stunned expression on her face.
I guess I never looked at it that way,
she said after a long silence.
I can see why you are a lawyer. It's the hardest thing in the world to put yourself in someone else's place. Try to really feel what they feel, figure out why they do the things they do. Especially when it's easier to stick a label on something or someone. And the lighthouse? Lizzie loved it at some point in her life. It was important to her. She wanted to see it work again. That's good enough for your father. He'll work himself to the bone to try and fix it. For her? Your dad isn't crazy. He knows she's gone, Mickey. He's doing this for her memory. At least partly. This is all part of the healing process, that's all. Everyone does it differently, but this is just your father's way. So what do you think I should do? At some point, find the courage to talk to him. About what? I think you'll figure it out.
Mickey laid her hand on Jenna's arm.
Thanks for the ice cream and the advice. You're very welcome to both, sweetie.
Chapter 49. On Saturday night, Jenna helped Mickey get dressed in her new clothes and did her hair. She pinned most of it back, but let a few strands trickle down Mickey's long, slender neck. Corey and Jackie were sitting on the couch together watching TV. They both stared wide-eyed at their sister when she came down the stairs followed by a proud-looking Jenna.
Mickey, beautiful!
Said Jackie. Corey didn't say anything. He just kept staring, like this was the first time he'd realized his sister was a girl. Sammy came out of the kitchen, saw her, and said,
Wow, okay, people, heartbreaker coming through, make room, make room.
Mickey blushed deeply and said,
Sammy, knock it off. Honey, take the compliments from the man when you can,
advised Jenna.
Sammy yelled, Jack, get your butt in here. There's big trouble.
Jack walked in from the kitchen and froze when he saw her. Mickey took in all the male staring at her and finally said,
What?
Nothing, sweetie, said Jack. You look terrific.
Jenna helped me.
Jack flashed her an appreciative look. Good thing. I'm not really all that great with hair and makeup. Jenna chuckled.
Gee, don't they teach that in the army? So, where are we going?
Asked Mickey. Like I said, dinner with the family, to celebrate your sweet 16. She looked at Corey and Jackie watching cartoons and munching on cheese curls. Jackie's face and hands were totally orange and sticky. Corey let out a loud belch.
Great,
she said, trying to sound enthusiastic. Sammy looked at Jack.
Hold on a sec. You said we had to finish that job tonight. Promise the lady, remember?
Oh, damn, that's right. What was I thinking? Jack slapped his forehead in frustration. Mickey scowled.
Tonight? What job?
Jack looked stricken. A big one. I forgot, honey. Mickey's face flushed and her eyes glistened.
Dad, it's my 16th birthday.
I know, sweetie, I know. Thank goodness I had a backup plan.
What?
He opened the front door and Mickey gasped. Liam was standing there, dressed in pressed chinos and a white button-down shirt. His face was scrubbed pink, and he'd even combed his long hair. In his hand was a bouquet of flowers. Mickey looked from him to her dad.
What is going on?
Jack grinned. Like you really wanted to go out on your 16th birthday with your old man and two little brothers. Give me a break.
That would have been fine,
she said,
trying to keep a straight face. "Yeah, right," scoffed Sammy. He turned to Liam, who hadn't budged an inch. "Well, get in here, son, and deliver the flowers to the lady." He grabbed Liam's arm and propelled him into the room. Liam handed the bouquet to Mickey. "He really looked great," he said shyly.
"Pretty slick yourself."
She eyed her dad.
"How did you possibly manage this without Corey or Jackie squealing?"
"That's easy. I didn't tell them, but Jenna was a major co-conspirator." Jenna did a mock curtsy.
"Guilty as charged. So, what's the plan?"
Mickey asked. "Like I said, dinner. For two. Reservations have already been made." Jenna amended.
"Not the little bit. At the fancy restaurant in town, I know the owners really well. They've got a great table picked out for you and a special menu." "Wow, I can't believe this is happening. I feel like Cinderella."
Jack put his arm around his daughter. "Nice to know I can still surprise you."
"Thanks, Dad. Well, I guess we better go,"
she said. "Wait a sec," Jack said. "Close your eyes."
"Dad."
"Please, just do it." Sighing heavily, she closed her eyes. Jack slipped the necklace from his pocket and affixed it around her neck. "Okay." She looked down and gasped. She rushed to a mirror hanging on the wall.
"This was Mom's necklace,"
she said in a hushed tone. Jack nodded. "I gave it to her on our first wedding anniversary." Mickey turned to look at him, tears glimmering in her eyes. "Happy birthday, baby." Father and daughter shared a lingering hug. After Liam and Mickey had gone off on their date, Jack stood on the front porch, staring at the sandy yard. Jenna joined him there. Jack's eyes were moist, and he wouldn't look at her.
"You okay, Dad?"
she asked. "They grow up fast, Jenna."
"Yes, they do. But growing up is okay. What we don't want them to do is grow away from us."
"You're pretty good at this parenting thing."
"You do something solo long enough, I guess you either get good at it or you crash."
"So there's hope for me?"
"I'd say definitely."
She slid her arm through his.
"She's a great kid, Jack."
"Because of Lizzie."
"Give yourself some of the credit. You did good tonight, Jack Armstrong."
"You really think so?"
"Yeah, I really do."
Chapter 50. Mickey and Liam had just finished dinner when he excused himself to go to the restroom. A few seconds later, Mickey was stunned to see Blake Saunders walk up to her table.
"What are you doing here, you weasel?"
she snarled. "I work here."
"You work here?"
"Bussing tables. Sweat town, like I said."
"Gee, doesn't sweet little Tiffany give you an allowance?"
"Look, I know you're upset, and you have every right to be."
"You're wrong, Blake. If I were upset, that would mean I cared, and I don't. You had your stupid fun, but Liam could have really gotten hurt."
"I pulled those two idiots off him, in case you didn't notice. I was on top of him to protect him. Nobody was supposed to get hurt, but then you jumped on my back and basically scratched my face off."
"Hey, let's not forget that none of it would have happened if you hadn't set me up. And why exactly did you do that?"
Blake looked down. "Because of what you did to Tiff, she was upset. She wanted to get back at you."
"And you do whatever Tiff tells you to? That's beyond pathetic."
"Yeah, I guess it is," Blake admitted.
"Look, you're not going to fool me with your I'm all sorry act, okay? So just save your breath."
"Did you put the glue in her car seat?"
"Don't know what you're talking about."
"Well, in case you were wondering, she was pissed. She had to take off her pants to get out of the car, and she hadn't bothered to put on underwear. She had to run up the steps to her house. But she slipped and fell over into the bushes, scratched her rear end up good. At least that's what my mom said. Guess all the hired help got a good laugh about that later." Hearing this, Mickey could not suppress a grin.
"It's nice to know that bad things do happen to bad people."
"I heard you entered the talent competition."
"That's right, me and Liam. I'm sure you'll be there to root on precious Tiff."
"Actually, I hope you kick her butt." He turned and walked away. After leaving the restaurant, Liam and Mickey drove to the beach, parked, took off their shoes, and walked along the sand.
I never saw the ocean before coming here,
said Mickey, as she drew close enough to the water to let it cover her feet. Mom and I have always been close to the water. Well, pretty close.
I really like it here. I didn't think I would after living in the city all my life, but I do.
It took some adjustment on my part, but it can be cool.
Blake Saunders came up to me at the restaurant while you were in the bathroom.
Liam did not seem annoyed by this, only curious. Really? What did he want?
To apologize for helping Tiffany get the jump on me. He said he was trying to protect you, not hurt you.
Yeah, I actually believe him.
You do?
Blake is not your typical bully jock, Mickey. He's actually a nice guy. Okay, he runs around with Tiffany too much, but I've never had a problem with him. In school, he's been cool with me. We even hang out and stuff sometimes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It started to rain, and they ran toward an old lifeguard shack and took cover under the roof overhang.
Your mom is really cool, Liam.
I don't even remember my dad. He was gone right after I was born.
That must have been hard.
I guess it could have been. But my mom loves me enough for two parents, Liam said firmly.
I really miss my mom.
Liam put an arm around her. That's completely normal, Mickey. You should miss her. She was your mom. She helped raise you. She loved you and you loved her.
Pretty sensitive stuff coming from a guy.
He smiled. I'm a musician. It's in our blood. He put his arms around her, and they kissed as the rain and wind picked up and the breakers started to roll and crash with more intensity. Mickey said,
Your mom talked to me the other day about my dad. It made me really start to think about things.
What do you mean?
I didn't handle things really well when my dad was sick. In fact, I pretty much screwed it up.
How?
When people are in trouble and they reach out, you can either reach out to them or pull back. I pulled back. I was a bitch to my mom. I was no help to my dad. In fact, I avoided him. I was rebellious, pushed the envelope, did all sorts of crap that made things harder for them.
Tears trickled down her cheeks.
And do you know why I did all that?
Liam looked at her. Because you were scared? She stared back.
I was terrified watching my dad die. And instead of trying to make the time he had left pleasant, I just ran the other way. I couldn't deal with it. I didn't want to lose him, and a part of me hated him for leaving us, for leaving me.
She let out a sob.
And it's just killing me now that my mom died, and all I can think is that I made her life miserable at the end. Just miserable.
As she started to cry, Liam held her, and then undid his cuff button, and held his sleeve out for her to use as a handkerchief. When she finally stopped crying, she rubbed her eyes with his sleeve.
Thanks.
It's okay, Mickey. This stuff is hard. No easy answers. It's not like music. The notes are all there. You just play, have a good time. Families are really hard.
Your mom said I needed to talk to him.
I think she's right. You do. The rain began to let up, and they made a run for the car. Liam drove her home. As she got out of the car, she said,
Thanks for a great 16th birthday.
Hey, you made it easy.
Right. Crying on your shoulder. Real easy.
I always thought that was part of being a friend. She leaned back in and kissed him.
It is. And you are.
Chapter 51. Jack lay on his back in the room of the lighthouse that contained the lighting machinery. His hands were greasy. He was hot and sweaty. There was dust in his throat, and he was not making much progress. He'd followed the schematic detailing of the electrical and operational guts of the machinery to the letter, but still, something was off. He angled his work light into a narrow gap between two metal plates.
Dad?
He jerked up and hit his head on a piece of metal. Rubbing the injured spot, he pulled himself out from the confined space
and looked over at the opening to the area below. Mickey, her hair plastered back on her head, was staring back up at him. Mick, you okay?
I'm fine, Dad.
He scrutinized her. You're wet.
It's raining.
He looked out the window. Oh, I guess I came out here before it started.
Can I come up?
He gave her a hand and pulled her into the small space. As she drew closer, he said, It looks like you've been crying. Liam didn't...
No, Dad. It has nothing to do with him. Liam was great. We had an awesome date. I really like him. A lot.
Jack relaxed. Okay, but then why? She took her dad's hand and drew him over to a narrow ledge that ran the length of the room under the window. They sat.
We need to talk.
What about? He said wearily.
What happened with Mom? You? Me? Everything, basically?
Now?
I think so, yeah.
Jack wiped his hands with a rag and tossed it down. Look, I know you guys think it's crazy what I'm doing out here, and hell, maybe it is. She put a hand on his arm to forestall him.
No, Dad, I don't think it's crazy.
She paused.
Jenna talked to me about some things.
What things? Jack said abruptly.
Like how you've basically been through hell, and we all need to cut you some slack, and that everybody grieves in their own way.
Oh. Jack looked over at the lighting apparatus and then back at her. I'm trying to get through this, Mickey. I really am. It's just not easy. Some days I feel okay, some days I feel completely lost. Mickey's face crumpled, and she began to sob as she poured her heart out.
Dad, I was just so scared when you were sick. I didn't know how to handle it. So I just thought if I ran away from it all, I wouldn't have to deal with it. It was selfish. I'm so sorry.
He put his arm around her heaving shoulders and let her cry. When she was done, he handed her a clean rag to wipe her eyes. Mickey, you are one smart kid, but you're also only 16. You're not supposed to have all the answers. I'm 35, and I don't have all the answers either. I think people need to cut you some slack, too.
But I still should have known,
she said, another sob hiccuping out of her. He stroked her hair. Let me tell you something. When my dad was dying, I did pretty much the same thing. At first I was sad, and then I was scared. I would go to bed at night scared and wake up scared. I would see him walking around in his pajamas in the middle of the day. He was just waiting to die, no hope. And this was a big, strong guy I'd always looked up to. And now he was all weak and helpless. And I didn't want to remember my dad like that, so I just pushed everything inside. And I tuned everyone out. Even him. I was selfish, too. I was a coward. Maybe that's why I went into the military. To prove that I actually had some courage. She looked at him with wide, dry eyes.
You did? Honest?
Yeah.
Life really sucks sometimes,
Mickey said, as she sat back and wiped her nose. Yeah, sometimes it really does. But then sometimes it's wonderful, and you forget all about the bad stuff. She looked down nervously, twisting her fingers. Mick, is there something else you need to tell me?
Will you promise not to get mad?
Jack sighed. Is that a condition of you telling me?
I guess not, but I was only hoping.
You can tell me anything. She turned to face him and drew a long breath.
I was the one who talked to that gossip paper.
Jack gaped at her. You? Fresh tears spilled down Mickey's cheeks.
I know it was so stupid, and it got completely out of hand. Most of the junk he wrote, he just made up.
But how did you know about any of it?
I overheard you and Mom talking the night she died, and I saw what that jerk Bill Miller did.
But why would you talk to a tabloid? You know what those papers do. It made your mom look...
I know. I'm so sorry, Dad. It was so totally stupid. I don't know why I did it. I was confused and angry. And I know you probably hate me. And I don't blame you. I hate myself for doing it.
All of this came out in a rush that left her so out of breath she nearly gagged. Jack put his arms around her and drew her to him. "Just calm down. It doesn't matter anymore. You messed up, and you admitted to it. That took a lot of courage." Mickey was shaking.
"I don't feel brave. I feel like a shit. I know you hate me, don't you?"
It's actually against the law for a dad to hate his daughter.
"I'm just really, really sorry, Dad. Now that my head's on right about things, it just seems so stupid what I did."
I don't think either of us was thinking too clearly for a while.
"Will you ever be able to forgive me, to trust me again?"
"I do, on both counts."
"Just like that?"
He touched her cheek. "Just like that."
"Why?"
"Something called unconditional love, honey." Chapter 52. Jenna looked up from the counter at the little bit to see Jack standing there. She smiled.
"I heard the kids had a fabulous time."
"Yeah, Mickey's still gushing about it."
"You want something to eat? Steak sandwich is the special."
"No, I'm good. Look, I was wondering if you had time tonight for some dinner." Jenna came from behind the counter to stand next to him.
"Dinner? Sure. What did you have in mind? Not here. Even I get sick of the menu."
She smiled and then turned serious.
"Hey, I can cook for you."
"I don't want you to have to do that."
"I love to cook. It's actually therapeutic. But you'll have to be my sous chef."
"What does that mean?"
"Slicing and dicing, mostly."
"I can do that. But can you get away from this place?"
"For one night, yes. Practically runs itself these days, and my number one son will be here along with your daughter. I don't think they even need me anymore. Say around 7:30?
"Okay, great."
"Anything in particular you want to talk about?"
"A lot of things." When Jack got to Jenna's house that night, music was on, wine was poured, and scented candles were lit.
"Don't be freaked out by any of this,"
she said as she ushered him in.
"I just like to be comfortable. I'm not going all Sex in the City on you."
She eyed him.
"You look nice."
He looked down at his new pair of jeans, his pressed white-collared shirt, and a pair of pristine loafers that were pinching his feet. Then he looked at her. She had on a yellow sundress with a scalloped front and was barefoot. "Not as nice as you," he replied. "And can I go barefoot too? These new shoes are killing me." When he looked at her feet, she smiled.
"You go for it. When I was a kid, my mom had to force me to wear shoes. Loved the feel of the grass on my feet. I think one reason I moved to the Deep South is because not many people wear shoes down here."
She led him into the kitchen and pointed to a cutting board and a pile of vegetables and tomatoes next to it.
"Your work awaits."
Jack chopped and sliced while Jenna moved around the kitchen preparing the rest of the meal. "So you like to cook?"
"I actually wanted to do it professionally."
"But you became a lawyer instead."
"Yep, it was one of those crazy zigzags that life takes. When Liam was older, I took culinary classes. Then, when I was thinking about changing careers, running a restaurant seemed a nice fit. The Little Bit's menu is limited, but I've made every dish on it."
She slid a pan of chicken into the oven.
"And at home is where I really get to impress people."
"I'm looking forward to being impressed, then." An hour later, they sat down to eat. After a few bites, Jack raised his glass of wine in tribute to her skills in the kitchen. "I'm not exactly an expert, but this is great." She clinked her glass against his.
"I'm sure it was all due to how you sliced and diced the veggies."
"Yeah, right." She put her glass down and eyed him.
"Okay, do we talk about things now or with dessert and coffee?"
"How about after dessert and coffee?"
"Why?"
He looked sheepish. "Because I'm having a great time."
"And you think what you want to say will spoil that?"
she said with a bit of alarm. "No, nothing like that. But it will change it." They walked on the beach after the cake and coffee were consumed. Jack ambled slowly, and Jenna matched his stride. "Mickey said you and she talked."
"She's a really smart kid. She gets it, Jack. She really does."
We talked after she came back from her date. She said you had basically told her to see things from my perspective.
I thought that was important.
I could understand why she was upset. He stopped and kicked at the wet sand. After I got the kids back, I fell into my old routine, and Mickey jumped on that.
On what?
That I didn't have a clue how to run a family.
Who does? We all just wing it.
That's nice of you to say, Jenna, but it's giving me credit I don't really deserve.
You really put a lot of pressure on yourself. Bet you did that in the Army, too.
Only way to survive. You practice perfection. You have a mission, you prep the crap out of it, and you execute that prep. Same with building stuff. You have a plan, you get your materials, and you build it according to the plans.
Okay, but did every mission and every building project go according to plan?
Well, no, they never do.
Then what did you do?
You improvise, fly by the seat of your pants.
I think you just defined parenting in a nutshell.
You really believe that?
Belief isn't a strong enough word. I basically live that.
You'd think I'd know that by now, having three kids.
All kids are different. It's not like one size or model fits all. I only have Liam, but I have five siblings. We drove my parents nuts, all in different ways. It's not smooth, it doesn't make sense half the time, and it's the hardest, most exasperating job you can ever have. But the payoff is also the biggest.
Does it get easier?
Truthfully, some parts of it do, only to be replaced by other parts that are actually harder.
Jenna gripped his shoulder.
Time, Jack. Time. And little steps. You nearly died. You lost the woman you love. You've moved to a different town. That's a lot.
Thanks, Jenna. I needed to hear all this.
Always ready to give advice, even if most of it is wrong.
I think most of it is right, at least for me. She slowly pulled her hand away.
Things get complicated, Jack. Awfully fast. I'm a big believer in taking your time.
I think I'm beginning to see that. Thanks for dinner. She pecked him on the cheek.
Thanks for asking. But why did you think this was going to change things between you and me? I think you just wanted some assurance, maybe some comfort.
But those are big deals for me. I don't go to people with things like that. I'm more of a loner. When Lizzie was alive, I'd go to her.
Your soulmate.
And my best friend. There was nothing we couldn't talk about. Jenna sighed resignedly.
You just described my image. No, my dream of the perfect relationship.
It wasn't all perfect. We had our problems.
But you worked them out together.
Well, yeah, that's what a marriage is, right?
It's supposed to be that way. But more and more, I don't think it is. People seem to give up on each other way too easily. Grass is greener crap.
I'm surprised you never got married again. I'm sure it wasn't for lack of offers.
It wasn't,
she admitted.
But like I said before, I guess the right offer never came along.
As they headed back to the house, she asked,
So, how's the lighthouse coming?
Not great, he admitted. I guess I'll die trying to get it to work again. As he drove off later, Jenna watched from the front porch, a worried look on her face. Chapter 53. A week later, Jack turned the wrench one more time, taped over an electrical connection, spun the operating dial to the appropriate setting, and stepped back. It had been a week since he'd had dinner with Jenna, and every night he'd been out here working until the wee hours of the morning on the lighthouse. He felt like a marathoner near the end of the run. Three times he thought he had it right. Three times he turned out to be wrong. And his anger and frustration had grown with each disappointment. He'd snapped at Sammy and at all three kids over the last few days. He'd even made Jackie cry one time and felt awful about it for days afterward. Yet still, here he was. Come on, he said, looking at the guts of the light. Come on, Everything checks out down to the smallest detail. There is no good reason you won't work. He stood back and reached for the switch that powered the system. He counted to three, made a wish, took a breath, held it, and hit the switch. Nothing happened. The light remained as dark as it had been for years. Instead of another intense sense of disappointment, something seemed to snap in Jack's head. All the misery, all the frustration, all the loss bottled up inside of him was suddenly released. He grabbed his wrench and threw it at the machinery. It struck the wall, ricocheted off, and cracked the window. Then he ran down the steps, grabbed a crate at the bottom of the lighthouse, carried it out to the rocks, and hurled it as far as he could. It crashed down, and the contents exploded over the wet rocks. With another cry of rage, he ran down to the beach, yelling and cursing, spinning around uncontrollably before he dropped down into the sand and sat there, rocking back and forth, his face in his hands, tears trickling between his clenched fingers. "I'm sorry, Lizzie. I'm sorry. I tried. I really tried. I just can't make it work. I can't make it work," he said again in a quieter voice. "I can't accept that you're gone. I can't. You should be here, not me. Not me." His breathing slowed. His mind cleared. The longer he sat there, the greater his calm grew. He looked out to the darkened ocean. He saw the usual distant pinpoints of light, representing far-off ships making their way up or down the Atlantic. They were like earthbound stars, thought Jack. So close, but so far away. He looked skyward toward Lizzie's little patch of heaven, somewhere. He'd never found it. It just swallows you up. "It's so big, and we're so small," thought Jack. Now he could fully realize how a little girl could become obsessed over a lighthouse. He was a grown man, and it had happened to him. The mind, it seemed, was a